This is the Capture Your 365 podcast, the podcast about everyday photography for everyday photographers. This is episode number 3, Week in the Life, recorded on September 6, 2013.
Hi, everybody. This is Katrina Kennedy with Capture Your 365. Welcome to the CY365 podcast. Today, my co-host Kelly Buss is not with us. We had a little technical difficulty, so she won't be joining me, unfortunately. But I do have a very special guest today who is going to talk with me about personal projects and one of the personal projects she does that I absolutely love. So joining me today is Allie Edwards. She is a designer, blogger, author, and mom of two. She is well known for capturing her everyday life with gorgeous photos and words and creating scrapbooks. So I'd like to welcome Allie Edwards.
Yay, thank you. Thanks so much, Katrina.
Thank you for being here, Allie.
Sure, you're welcome.
So we're going to dispense with our regular format, and we're just going to dive into our topic today after I give you a little sponsor message. And our sponsor for today's episode is Your Life Captured Through the Lens. And Your Life Captured Through the Lens is a 7-week class that moves you from manual mode to so you can have creative control of your camera. It is 6 lessons with accompanying videos and a private class forum and gallery. It is my most popular class and the last time I'm going to offer it. So class starts on Monday, September 9th, and registration will stay open for about a week into class. So if you want to take part in that, get on over there. It is really packed with tips and technique for using all the buttons on your camera. So, Allie, what kind of camera do you use?
I go back and forth between just my iPhone 5, which definitely has become a bigger piece of, you know, work and documentation and those sorts of things. And then I also have a Canon 5D Mark II.
Okay. We actually shoot with exactly the same cameras. That's funny.
It's awesome.
That is. So we know where the same buttons are at least.
Yeah, maybe.
Do you, for your daily shooting, do you shoot in manual or do you?
AV.
AV? Okay, mm-hmm. So aperture priority. Yeah, and you know, I tend to as well. Every now and then I'll decide, like, I need to go back over to manual for depending on the situation, or sometimes I feel like I just need to remind myself how to do it, that I don't want to get out of practice. So we're here today to talk about Allie's project, Week in the Life. She is launching that on September 9th through the 15th. And Allie, this is a project you've been doing for many years, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the first time I did it, if I remember correctly, was in 2005 or 2006. And I originally developed it as a workshop project. So it was, you know, had the intent where people would have homework in advance of coming to this. It was a Creating Keepsakes, a scrapbooking magazine workshop. They did all of their content, you know, developed all their content and took the photos and wrote things down, real specific outline of things for them to do. And then we came together and created the album after that. And I did that for a couple of years in that format. And then since then, I've done it every year except for one since then. And the one year that I didn't do it was after my daughter was born and just had too many other things, you know, overwhelmed with projects and work and other things too. So
yeah, life gets tricky then.
Yeah, no, it's such a cool thing to be able to look back on though too, and to see, you know, back in 2005 or 2006, you know, what was my daily life like and what things were happening. And because it's really, I really focus on the basic sorts of stuff.
Yeah, I first did it in 2008. I think I think I crossed paths with you for the first time about 2007 or 2008. And I absolutely loved it. It is one of the few books that I've actually printed. It sits on our coffee table. My husband and my son go through it all the time. There are just so many cool details. So for someone who isn't really familiar about Week in the Life, Can you tell them how you approach it and what your goal is with it?
Sure. It's basically, I mean, the very basics of it is that it's a 7-day documentary project. And my goal with it is to really focus on photographing our day, you know, starting when you wake up in the morning all the way until when you go to bed in the evening. And then I also try to write down kind of a schedule of what we go through the day. So I have some free downloads that I call daily sheets that have like one sheet is just a timeline of the day, you know, where you're, you know, 6 a.m., wake up, and, you know, I try to add in little details. For me, I do really well at that at the beginning of the week. And as the week goes along, I'm like, okay, I'm getting tired of doing the same thing over and over again. But it's worth it. And in addition to that timeline, I usually have a second sheet that has some other focus where it would include like, what were the meals we ate? What are some observations I have on the day? What are some gratitudes from this day? Another one is conversations, you know, what things that I overhear, usually for me that has to do with my kids, or, you know, it could be a work conversation or those sorts of things. So when I first started doing it, it was really mainly just about detailing what our life looks like. And I think that over time, it's really become kind of a benchmark for me in a way, you know, an annual benchmark of what does our life look like and where am I at? A lot more than just like, I'm going to take pictures of my everyday. It kind of goes deeper for me, I think, of an opportunity to see what are my routines like right now? Potentially, what are things that I would like to change? What's working and what's not working? I think a lot of times in our life, we have a sense of that. You know, we can feel that something's not working right. And I'm a very reflective sort of person, and having this sort of documentation done helps me kind of pinpoint places where I could make changes to make the flow of our days easier. Maybe I'm working too much, or, you know, we're overscheduled or whatever, you know, or we're not enough. We need to add some other things in. So for me, it really goes beyond just a creative project to being a, like I said, a kind of a benchmark life project of what's happening and what can we do different to make it more rich, full, enjoyable, meaningful, those sorts of things. So,
you know, it's interesting that you would say that you look at it as a benchmark of your life and really look at the patterns of your week. I looked back over my 2008 book, and this summer I've been feeling really guilty about the amount we've been eating out because we have no kitchen.
Right.
And so I looked at the 2008 book, and I was, you know, going through it. My son was only 3 years old. And as I went through it, I realized that our pattern of eating out a lot started in 2008. So I was really kind of fooling myself that we were doing something so different.
Isn't that funny? I think it's almost truth telling in a way, you know, I mean, it can show us, yeah, exactly what you just said. I mean, we can think in our mind that something is, you know, different or the same or whatever, but without documenting it, without being able to go back and actually look at what were we really doing, it's hard to know or remember, obviously. I mean, that's a big piece of this whole memory keeping or photography, you know, idea of being able to use that as a way to remember things.
I think it's easy when we don't have those daily reminders, those daily photos or words to go back and look at, to think that, or to avoid the details. We don't notice the details. We don't notice the small moments. And so I think that's one of the beauties of Week in the Life, is that we get that opportunity both positively and constructively to really see those small details of our life.
Totally. Totally. The other thing that I know that is true for me as well is that I often use this week as an opportunity to reconnect with the way that I'm taking photos. So I tend to take more digital, you know, DSLR photos during this week. I call it my big camera. You know, using my big camera more this week versus the convenience of my iPhone, which was what I would kind of normally use or what I've gotten into the habit of using. So I like to have this opportunity to go to bring out my bigger camera or to focus on using it. Because the pictures are just different, you know, it takes different kinds of pictures. And I always have, you know, kind of I feel like I get more creative with the photos that I'm taking. With like, I'm using the self timer to make sure that I'm getting into the pictures, and I don't know. I took some time yesterday. And I looked back through my Flickr gallery from last year, and it was, which was like April of 2012, because I don't always do it at the same week every year. But it was so fun to look back and then to see the quality of the pictures and the different things that I was taking then. And so there is definitely a focus for me on the opportunity to challenge myself to see what different kinds of pictures I can take versus the ones that I've been taking with my phone.
Yeah, I like that. I find that I use my phone a lot, and I forget just the creativity, the angle of view,
yes,
the perspective that you can totally get when you do get your big camera out.
Totally.
So Kelly sent a question, and actually you just answered it, and she had another piece of it that she wanted to ask you, which was, do you carry your DSLR with you when you're out of the house, or do you just use your iPhone then?
I think I'm trying to remember what I did last year. I think that in general, I try to take my bigger camera with me just during this week. Like normally I wouldn't. Normally I don't carry it in my bag or anything like that. But during this week, because I know that it just takes a different kind of picture, you know, whether it's the quality or whatever. Yes. During this week, I will take it out with me.
Do you wear it or do you carry it in a bag?
Well, I'm thinking about that right now because two things. One is that the lens that I normally use broke, and so it is actually out for repair, which is a 24-70 Canon lens, which is my favorite lens, and it's a very nice lens. And so it's actually, I don't know, it's at Canon right now. So I will be using just the fixed 50mm, and I think it's the 1.8. No. It's not the least expensive one. It's the next one.
The 1.4. Okay. The 1.4. Yeah.
So I'm thinking that, I mean, that's what I have. So that's what I'm going to use. Right now, it doesn't have a strap on it because I have been doing a bunch of video. So it's been on a tripod for quite a while. So I got to decide whether I'm going to put the strap back on it and then. And then, probably, yes.
Yeah, and then head out.
Yeah, and even then I think I would keep it in my bag, though, or it would be in the car. I imagine I'm going to be in the car a lot because it's my new carpool situation. So in that case, I'll probably just have it sitting on the seat next to me and we'll grab it when necessary. Yeah, but otherwise, I would probably put it in my bag. I don't think that when I walk around, I would necessarily have it.
Yeah, okay.
You know, if I go to the grocery store, it'd probably just be in my bag.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm kind of the freak that I will wear it almost everywhere that I go. I feel more comfortable if it's close to my body.
Sure.
And it at my son's school and even at the grocery store we go to, they know me as the woman with the camera.
My lady. So, well, I think you take more pictures that way too. And you know, I mean, if I have it in my bag, I'm less likely to pull it out versus if it's on my body, it's easier to grab. So that's definitely true.
Yeah. So, are there, you mentioned, you know, just looking around your life, getting the photos of details, the moments, is there anything that you maybe don't photograph?
Naked children?
Yes, absolutely.
That's just never been, you know, some people think it's really cute. That's never been a piece of, you know, and I don't mean that in a negative way at all. That's personal preference.
Right.
See, what would I not photograph?
Or any areas of your home that you avoid because maybe they're messy or.
No, that to me is not that big of a deal. Like I will definitely, I've been doing this long enough and you know, my regular process is everyday stories anyway. So I'm fully comfortable with taking pictures of mess. That part's fine. I'm trying to think if there's anything that I avoid. I think it would just, for me and my personal situation and, you know, the work that I do and having, you know, a group of people that follow or are watching or, you know, those sorts of things. There are certain things that I don't document out of personal choice, mm-hmm. Whether it's different people I have in my life that just don't have the same comfort level of being, you know, in the public eye sort of thing. So I try to be really respectful of that. And then even like I'm sensitive to, you know, at the schools, other kids, Sometimes I'll do that, and then it's just in our own personal sorts of things here that I wouldn't necessarily post online. I just want to be, I feel like I'm ultra sensitive about that.
Yeah. I appreciate that. I have, because I take so many photos at my son's school, I have photos of everyone. Mm-hmm. And I'm always so concerned that parents will post my child and other kids' photos to Facebook or just put them out there. And I think that really needs to be a personal choice, something that we as a family get to decide.
Yeah, I think so too. And I just want to be respectful, just because you never know what's going on and, those sorts of situations.
Exactly. And it becomes a record. I think about, especially you mentioned the naked baby photos or the naked children. And Simon's a great example. His photos have been online for most of his life.
Yes.
And now he's of an age that he's probably on the internet. His friends are probably on the internet. Mm-hmm. I could imagine that when my son is his age, he's going to Google Ian Kennedy and see what comes up.
Yeah.
And I don't know that he wants to see his little buns.
Yeah, it'll be real interesting. I mean, I think for me, I really like, I was thinking about this the other day, and I can't remember the exact context of what was happening, but I was thinking about, embarrassing. And like, I'm not the kind of person that, I have a different sense of humor, I guess. I don't know. Somebody was telling me, recently that I needed to relax. I'm a little too serious sometimes. And so things that other people would think would be funny, like when you're embarrassing someone, even in a kind-hearted way, I'm uncomfortable with that. So like I sensitive to that, of like not wanting to embarrass somebody. Or I mean, even with Simon, I would never intentionally post something of him or a photo of him that I would feel like he would be embarrassed about. I mean, and there will be a certain point where he'll get to make, more of those choices too. Right now, he's still in a place developmentally and whatever, that when he sees a picture of himself on the internet, he's super excited. Like, he thinks that's the best thing ever, that, he's like, oh my God, I'm online. Bye. But that might change as he gets older. And like you said, that friends or peers or different things have, an understanding of what's going on too. So.
Right. I really feel like I want Ian to be able to create his own internet personality and presence. It's definitely going to be impacted by the photos I've shared with him or of him already, but I want to leave a lot of that in his control when he gets there.
It's a very interesting topic, I think, just in general, for the way our society is now versus when we were kids. And
absolutely.
And too. So
yeah, I sometimes wonder the impact and what the difference is going to be for him being able to see these small details of his life when I go back. And I'm one of five children, and I'm in the middle, so I live that life of marginal photos of me. Not a lot of details, and my mom can't remember because she was busy with two others, so.
Right, it's such a different way. And especially for us, I mean, this being, part of our job as well as our hobby and, those sorts of things. It's a, who knows?
Exactly.
Who
exactly.
Knows?
Yeah. It's, although I've read research that it makes people be more confident and have just a stronger personality if they know their history. So
yeah. Oh, I love that.
I do too.
Send that my way. I'm going to lean on that one. And I mean, the most of what I do too is about celebrating. I mean, and whether it's Week in the Life or any of the other memory keeping projects I'm doing, it's, kind of reflecting on what's happening and then finding angles to celebrate all the things that are good, even in the midst of super challenging sorts of stuff too. So
exactly. So. Yeah. And I think when we step away and have perspective, those angles look different, and you appreciate them in a new way.
I agree.
So speaking of angles, how do you get the best photos inside your home? You have some beautiful photos in your home. It looks like you have great light. How do you go about getting good inside photos?
I think that camera and the 5D and that lens especially, I think has been really great for me in terms of being an inside, great for indoor shooting. But I'm also really conscious of it as well. And I'm also a person who isn't afraid to shoot in the dark or darker sorts of things. And I took a picture of Simon last night or the night before, and I was thinking to myself as I took it, it's one that I've taken multiple times, you know, getting kind of get into a pattern of shooting. And it's looking into the bedroom door, like into his bedroom door at night when he's in bed reading a book. So he's lit by the night, or the, you know, his bedside table lamp sort of thing. And it's fairly grainy because that was actually an iPhone shot, but I've taken it with the with my bigger camera as well. And but I like the darkness in there and like how it's just lit by that light. So things that are not necessarily technical always. Mm-hmm. But I've also just recently, I would say within the last couple of months, I've been using Radlab and PicTap Go on my phone for editing. And that's really made a difference in being able to lighten, which is most of the time, if I ever did any post-processing or editing after the fact, it was always light, you know, trying to make it lighter.
Right, so up the exposure.
Up the exposure, yeah. So some of that, I would say, is probably manufactured a little bit. There is nice light in here, but some of that is definitely... it may not be as bright as it appears.
So you're not afraid to edit, and I'm guessing you're not afraid to put a less than perfect photo in your finished product.
Not at all. Like I don't consider myself a technical photographer. I shoot more based on emotion and, you know, capturing a relationship or attempting to capture an essence. And I really don't, I don't know a lot about manual photography. I mean, I know enough to shoot AV and to adjust aperture and exposure, a little bit of compensation, things like that. But for the most part, I'm not thinking about that. I would say that I'm thinking about light. I'm thinking about what I'm seeing through the lens. I think about composition a lot, whether it's how I'm going to shoot through the lens or how I will crop it in the end. Those are the sorts of things that I'm thinking about when I'm taking pictures versus trying to get the exposure correct at the time that I'm taking the shot.
That makes sense. That does make sense. Are there, in terms of composition, are there angles you prefer? Are there shots that next week you're going to really, really look for that you like to include in your week in the life?
Definitely like to include full room shots when I can, which is another thing that I like about that 24-70 lens. I can get a whole room often with that lens, or, you know, I mean, it just goes pretty wide, but I don't have that. So with the 50 next week, it'll be interesting to see. But I like to take pictures of just the way that things are in my house. So what bedding is on my bed this week, or what, you know, what things are different in my kids' rooms this year than they would have been, you know, a year ago, or what's the same, you know, there's still Legos all over the floor in Simon's room. You know, or what, you know, what books are in Anna's bookshelf now versus my daughter versus a year ago. So a lot of the, just things within our house. Are there different things, different pictures on the wall? Are there, you know, what's changed? Those are the sorts of things that I definitely include. I guess I think of them a little bit as filler photos, even though they're actually the things that I really like. Mm-hmm. But as I'm going about my day and I'm walking through the house, I'm like, oh, I know I haven't taken a picture of that for a while, or, that's definitely something. And then also the self-portrait shots, which are a pretty important part to me. Sometimes I'll have Katie, my assistant, take shots of me, or the kids. I'll ask them to do it as well. But I also use my timer on my bigger camera and setting it up. I almost always have a picture of me doing laundry. I almost always have a picture of me doing the dishes. You know, what? Sometimes I'm just thinking of, like, how are the ways that my kids see me? What do my kids see me doing right now, sitting at my desk, driving the car? You know, how can I capture that with the timer to be able to include that as part of the story of the week is always important to me too.
I love that. And you have just some of the most beautiful photos of your life. You're giving your kids such an amazing gift. So thinking about the time next week. And I know you and I are kind of in a unique position that we, you know, this is what we're doing professionally. So we tend to have more time to devote to writing and taking photos. What advice do you have for people who may not have that luxury of time so that they can get the photos and add the words to them to document their week in the life?
You know what's interesting about that for me is that I used to feel that way, and now I feel like I'm so busy. You know, like busy in a way of like I feel in a way more connected to like a working person. I hope that makes sense. You know, it's like somebody that goes to a regular job, because I try to keep regular, you know, regular working hours sorts of things, and I'm doing lots of other projects in addition. So for me, having that these PDF daily sheets are key. Like I'll print all of them out in advance, and I'll just have them. I just put them downstairs on my kitchen counter, and that's where I start the day. And then I kind of just carry those with me throughout the day so I can jot things down. I know that over time, as I've done this project, I have included fewer words. Whether that is good or bad, I'm not sure yet. I actually don't think it's good or bad. It's just how it is. That I tend to write a little bit less, and maybe this time I'll try to write more. But it's hard. It's challenging to be able to do it. The photos for me are simpler and easier because it's already a natural way that I live. So I'm used to taking pictures, you know, and everyday sorts of things. It's more just a reminder to myself of like, oh, I'm doing Week in the Life right now. I need to take a picture. I think the biggest advice that I want to give to people is don't give up if you forget one morning, you know, like just pick it up when you remember and go from there. Because I'll take 80 pictures on Monday, but actually for me in my finished album project, I may use 10 to 12. Like I'm not necessarily going to use all of those pictures, but I love that I have all of them, which is something to remember as well, that it's, you know, it's kind of a marathon sort of project versus a sprint.
Right. Just kind of have to be slow and steady and don't go out too fast in the beginning.
And forgiving of yourself. You know what, if you forget, like I said, if you forget part of the day or whatever, who cares, you know, just keep going. Like you're not going to get in trouble. You're not getting an F, you know, I mean, there's no grades in this. It's just, it's really just an opportunity to pay attention to the way that you're living. If you're at, a lot of questions I often get too are like work related. So you're at work, what do you take pictures of? Do you take pictures of the same thing every day? I always say, yeah, like, you know what, if I sit at my desk every day, I would take a picture of my coffee cup, and I would take a picture of what's on my desk, and I would take a picture of, you know, my computer screen or a screenshot even, you know, what am I working on right now? I think a huge thing is people like to say, oh, my life's so boring, nothing ever happens.
Right.
I'm like, dude, this is a huge piece of this project, is being able to pay attention to what you actually do, you know,
right,
over the course of the day.
And there's so much in that mundane, everyday, boring detail of our lives that it is just writes our story. I get that same response from people doing 365 projects where they're taking a photo a day, and they'll say, I have nothing in my life that's interesting. And when you're taking a photo every day, as I know you've done in the past, you have to begin to look at things and find the beauty and the interesting angle in anything.
Yeah, I think that's the reason why to do it too. You know?
Right, right. It makes you see the world differently.
For sure.
Yeah, and there's something amazing about that beauty. The first year that I did it, I've done Week in the Life twice. In 2008, when I did it, I had a lot of words like you. I had really detailed pages. There were lots of photos on those. And then last year I did it, and you know, last year my life was really different. My son was in school, and my schedule was busier, and I didn't have as many photos, and I didn't have as many words, but the books mean just as much to me.
Totally. Totally. And I think one of the things that's happened to me over time too is I may take less pictures than I did before, but they tend to be more intentional.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like rather than just, oh my God, I'm going to capture everything, I'm going to take 1,000 pictures today. Like I definitely don't do that. kind of I've gotten in the groove of like, okay, I know I want to take a picture of my breakfast and take a picture of, you know, and then there's little surprises throughout the day too. So
nice.
Yeah.
So what options do people have for putting their words and photos together? I know we have people who are not scrapbookers who listen to the podcast.
Sure.
But, you know, this is something that I think anyone can do, whether they scrapbook or not.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's so many different options. And for some people, they, you know, it's maybe not even something that has an end result, you know, that maybe it's just the process of doing it is enough for somebody to take the time to document, to look at the, you know, how are they living life right now? For me, I'll be doing kind of a combination of what we call in the scrapbook industry, hybrid scrapbooking. So it's some digital layered templates that you can use in Photoshop, combined with, I'll be using some paper scrapbook supplies and some pocket page protectors and things like that. But the people could definitely do, you know, a photo book, you know, some of those great Blurb or Artifact Uprising. I don't know if you've seen them yet. They have some really beautiful templates that where you're just pretty much dropping your photos in, and you could add text on top of your photos if you wanted to, or you could have, you know, a couple pages at the end that just had all of the actual Word documentation. There's so many options. Or, you know, a lot of people in scrapbooking right now are doing this kind of project life, which is a whole, I don't know if you've talked about that already, but a whole
we
other
haven't.
Sort of,
yeah.
Of project that are 4x6 and 3x4, essentially. That's the basics. Pocket pages where you can just flip your photos right in there and then be able to add your words as well. So.
Which is it's a really easy way to get
really
everything
easy.
Together.
Really easy. Yeah, a great entry point for somebody that would want to do this sort of project and just print the photos and then even just add in the daily sheets. Those they're 8.5x11 in PDF, you know, free. They just flip them into an 8.5x11 page protector and put them in there with your photos.
There'd be something really powerful about that too, to have your handwriting
yes.
captured as well. I think that's
so too. Yeah. I usually, even if I like transcribe or, you know, take what I've written on those sheets and rewrite them, or, you know, I will do different things based on the creativity of the project. I usually include those at the end as well, just as a, you know, another sort of record of what was happening that week with the handwriting or with the scribbles, or, you know, somebody usually draws on it or coffee gets spilled on it, or that almost always happens too.
Nice. So. It just adds to the story.
Totally. Totally.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with Artifact Uprising, but I did use Blurb last year, and I actually used Blurb through Lightroom.
Oh, cool.
And it was so easy. I literally was able to put the whole book together and send it to be printed in about an hour.
Yeah.
And I was
that's awesome.
Done, and it arrived. Yeah, it was so nice.
Yeah, way simpler than what I ended up doing.
Yeah, it was the only, I couldn't bear to miss the project, but I also couldn't figure out how I could scrapbook each page and still have time to do everything else I needed to do. So it worked out as a really nice option, and I got the book done. But this year I am going to try to use your templates.
Oh, nice. Thanks.
Yeah, I really liked your templates. I loved that you gave a daily template that has space for a really large photo.
Yeah, that's been kind of the last couple of years. That's been what I've wanted. I want to have one enlargement and then a few other smaller ones for sure. So
nice,
yeah.
Nice. So tell everyone where they can find a little bit more about Week in the Life and a little bit more about you, Allie.
Sure. You can go to my website, which is AllieEdwards.com, which is AlieEdwards.com. And from there, I've got a link to a specific Week in the Life. I call it a compilation page that has links to my projects going back to, I think, 06 or 07 is the first one that's on there. And so it includes, you know, all of the photos that I've taken, all of the words I've written down, and then my process for putting those albums together as well. So I've got it all in one kind of convenient location, and there's a link off the main page for that.
lots and lots of stuff there as well. So
yeah, there were some great links. I looked at it this morning and you said a couple of things on it that I think are so important for any personal project. And one of the things you wrote was to think about that this is not a race or a competition or a comparison game. How do you avoid making it a comparison or a competition?
Well, I think sometimes people, especially if people have that tendency to like want to portray a perfect life, you know, that everything is clean, everything's put away, and that everything's all together. And I think that can easily happen in this sort of a project where people are taking pictures of their houses or, you know, their clothes or whatever is going on for them. So I really want to encourage people to embrace what's real. And I think that that's just a good learning thing for anybody in their life, regardless of if they're doing some sort of a project like this. So, you know, people tend to want to compare or, you know, better than, less than, that whole game of stuff. And I'm not interested in any of that. I just want to document what's real for me right now so that I can work on changing the things that I may want to change, you know, making myself a better person, setting up our family to have a smoother, you know, daily life is, like I said, a big piece of this for me. So.
Excellent. I love that. Yeah. And then your last piece of advice was to have fun. And I think that's the goal with this. And so how do you make it fun for everybody in your family? Because I know sometimes kids can be reluctant to be the subject of photographs. How do you avoid?
I think for me, one of the biggest things that I really don't do and that I really haven't ever done is a lot of like, look at the camera. You know, there's not,
right.
And I think for my kids, especially now, I mean, it's really kind of a normal piece of their life is getting their picture taken. And they're both interested in cameras and, you know, taking pictures and that sort of stuff because they've seen that is, you know, such a big piece of what happens in our household. But I'm kind of like a not in your face sort of picture taker, or I try not to be, you know, I mean, whether it's holding the camera down at your side so they can't even tell you're taking a picture, or setting up a, you know, the timer when we're all sitting at the table, the three of us are sitting at the table together, you know, those sorts of things to try to make it as unobtrusive as possible. And I think that keeps it fun because then it's not like, oh, you know, whatever, getting freaking out about it. But I know that there's also lots of families that, you know, that it can be a fun family sort of thing, and you could get your kids involved and you could give your kids a camera and they could be taking pictures during the week. What's their week like as well, which would be really fun. And actually maybe I will do some of that.
I love that perspective.
I haven't tried that yet. So that might be a fun thing to add in, especially for either of my kids. I mean, they're 11 and 4, and I think that Simon, actually, he asked me for a camera yesterday. I'm not sure what he was watching. He was probably watching something that he was thinking about wanting a camera, but
photographing his Legos, perhaps.
Yeah, potentially. Oh, he definitely likes to do little videos of those. So, yeah, I mean, I think for me, keeping it the fun piece too is just not making it super serious. You know, I think people get into it and they're like, oh my God, I need that frenzy of I need to take a picture of every single thing so that I have 1,000 photos so that I'm completely overwhelmed. Right. And, you know, that's I don't think that's the route to take either. You get into a rhythm. That's kind of what I feel like happens to me by midweek, by the end of the week, I'm kind of in a rhythm of taking pictures as I go. So.
Right. And it can be that rhythm, I think, when people shoot a photo every day, when they do a 365 project, we kind of fall into that rhythm.
Yes.
So I think for those of us who do 365, this is going to bump us up a little bit, make us notice things a little bit more. But it also becomes a really nice entry for those people who have ever toyed with the idea of taking on a photo of the day. And you bring out a really good point that, you know, don't overwhelm yourself with so many photos. The days that I have too many, it does take longer. You've got to edit more. You've got to make more decisions. And if I've learned
that, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was going to say that becomes a stopping point for a lot of people when they get overwhelmed simply with the amount of photos then too. It just is like, okay, it's too many and too much. And
Exactly. I think if I've learned anything in my life at this point, it is the fewer decisions I can make, the happier I am.
Yes. Yeah, no, I agree with that too. And I think, you know, different people make decisions in different ways too. Like I find for me, I'm pretty quick at, you know, looking at a couple photos and just picking one. Like I don't have a lot of that anxiety of what's going to be the perfect picture. Like
Right.
that's not a piece of what I do. I kind of figure that overall, over the course of everything, I will have taken pictures of so many things anyway, and they will be perfect for that moment, you know, for
Right.
whatever that means to me too, so.
And they're perfect as a memory. I think that keeping
Yeah.
that in perspective that, you know, this is not, again, that competition. It's not about comparing my house, my photo to yours. It is about recording this for me and recording it for my family. So, Allie, I really want to thank you for being here. This is such an awesome project. It is absolutely one of my favorites. So, Week in the Life starts on September 9th and works through the 15th. And I love that you said earlier, if you skip a day, just, you know, keep going. Don't let it
Yeah.
stop you.
Yeah, you don't need to stop. I mean, and I think for a lot of people, for scrapbookers especially, I mean, even if you just look at it as, you know, let's see, I'm trying to think of what the right word is. You're basically gathering content that can be used for lots of different projects down the road too, even if you don't use it for a week in the life. So.
Exactly. And so on the September 365 photo list that we put out, I have prompts all week that correspond to Week in the Life. And if you are on the daily email list, each of those daily emails includes a longer list of ideas to capture those particular things. The first one, September 9th, is routine. So I have lots of ideas of routine things that may happen in your house that you can take a photo of. And so you can find that at CaptureYour365. And that daily email is a free email that you can subscribe to. And Allie, they can use the hashtag. What hashtag are you using for Week in the Life?
I'm doing full week in the life,
Oh,
all
easy.
written out. Yeah, I think it's just the simplest way to go. So, yeah,
Absolutely.
just pound week in the life. Yep.
Excellent. Well, Allie, thank you for being here. I
You're welcome.
appreciate,
Thanks for having me. I
yeah,
appreciate
and you are always such an inspiration and are kicking off our series on the podcast of personal projects. So we'll probably be back and discuss December daily in the future, I'm
Awesome.
guessing.
Yeah, let
All
me know. I'd be
right.
happy to do that.
All right. Thanks again, Allie.
You're welcome. Thank
And
you.
thank you for listening to Capture Your 365.